That was from the 139th Psalm, and there's something that really hit me where David says, and I know this is the Lord speaking, but this is also every individual believer without exception. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me. Now to think of the living God having thoughts with my name in them. And that's true of every believer without exception. That's amazing. What is a Hebrew? Now, this is the first time we read of this in the scripture, Abraham, the Hebrew. And you know, as long as I've been a believer, how long, ever long that is, I've never even thought of this. What's a Hebrew? What does the word Hebrew mean? One from beyond. One from beyond. Now, how do we use the word beyond? Well, what is the afterlife called by us? The beyond. Beyond our comprehension, beyond our explanation, it's just beyond. Beyond our comprehension, beyond us being able to give a definition, beyond. Abraham was one from beyond. So is Isaac, so is Jacob, so is every one of Abraham's spiritual descendants. One from beyond. Where are you from? Every believer can honestly say, from beyond. And you could say that to an unbeliever and they would say, you're crazy. Well, maybe so. But that is the meaning of the word. And if you're a believer, you can't give any explanation to yourself but the Lord. You're one from beyond. You're not of this world, are you? You know, the Lord said concerning his children, they are not of this world, even as I am not of this world. One from beyond. Turn with me for a moment to Romans chapter 2. I love this passage of scripture. The Hebrews are also called the Jews. The Jews. The Hebrews. Who are the Jews? Who are the Hebrews? Who are these people who are from beyond? Verse 28. For he is not a Jew which is one outwardly. Now that, there it is. People talk about, you know, the Jewish nation and Israel and so on. Well, Paul puts all that to rest when he says he is not a Jew, which is one outwardly. Someone that was born in Israel and can trace their lineage back to Benjamin like Paul did, that doesn't make him a true Jew. Oh, a physical Jew, a national Jew, but that's not a true Jew. He is not a Jew, which is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision, which is outward in the flesh. Now, what was the mark of a true Jew? Circumcision. Paul says physical circumcision is not circumcision. It's not. But he is a Jew, which is one inwardly. Something you can't see from the outside. And circumcision is that of the heart, in the spirit. Now, let me say this. I hope it makes understanding, but a man that is not born of God doesn't have a spirit. He has a soul, he has a body, but he doesn't have a spirit. Remember when The Lord said to Adam, in the day you eat thereof. Not you're going to die 930 years. In the very day you eat thereof, you shall surely die. The moment you eat, you'll die. Now, he didn't die physically. And his soul was still alive, but he died spiritually. The natural man is dead in trespasses and sins. Dead. Graveyard dead. He doesn't have a spirit. But when God gives somebody the new birth, they are born of the Spirit, and they now have a spiritual nature. Now, that is what it is to have your heart circumcised. Circumcision is that of the heart, that of the Spirit, not in the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of God. Now, what does it take for God to praise something or someone? They're born of God. That is the man who is a true Hebrew, not of this world, from beyond. Turn with me to Philippians chapter 3. This is a similar passage of Scripture. This is a passage of Scripture that is not dealt with enough by anybody. I think it's me included, but it's so powerful. Verse 3. Well, verse 2, beware of dogs. And he's not talking about canines. He's talking about false prophets. That's what he calls them, dogs. Beware of dogs. Beware of evil workers. Beware of the concision. Now, this is a play on words. Beware of the mutilators. They talk about being circumcised, and they make a big issue about circumcision. But that's not circumcision. These are the concision. For we are the circumcision. We're the true Jews. We're the true Hebrews. And he gives three marks, and these are so very important. We are the circumcision which worship God. Number one, which worship God. And if you know anything about the worship of God, you know that the only way you can worship him is in the Spirit, by the Spirit of God. The flesh cannot worship God. Something I never say is come worship God with us to unbelievers. I say come hear the gospel. I say that want people to come hear the gospel and hear the truth, but I don't say come worship with us, because you can only worship if you have the Spirit of God. Somebody says that's splitting hairs. I don't think so. We worship God in the Spirit, the spiritual nature, by the Spirit of God. What's he say next? Here's the people who worship God in the Spirit. They rejoice in Christ. Now, that's not the word that generally means, you know, get happy and joy and so on. It's the word they glory in Christ. They glory in Christ. They boast in Christ. They look nowhere but Christ. They believe Christ is everything in their salvation. And they say from the depths of their heart, I've heard people say, all you need is Christ. No, all you have is Christ if you have him. He's all you have. And you rejoice only in him. You're not allowed to rejoice anywhere else. And what about these people who rejoice in Christ? They all have this in common. They have no confidence. None. Nada. Zilch. Zero. No confidence in the flesh. Now that is the truly circumcised person. That's the true Jew. That is the true Hebrew. Now, I am Todd the Hebrew. Just like Abraham is Abraham the Hebrew, every believer can say this of themselves. I'm put your name in there if you or a true Jew, I'm filling your name, the Hebrew. I like being a Hebrew, don't you? One from beyond. All believers are from beyond. God calls himself the God of the Hebrews. You know, when he sent Moses into Pharaoh, what did he say? Thus saith the God of the Hebrews, let my people go. He said that six times. Thus saith the God of the Hebrews. God identifies himself as the God of the Hebrews. Let my people, well, who are the people he calls my people? Well, the same people spoken of in Matthew 1:21, thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. The same ones of whom God said, I'll be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people. The same people that Paul was speaking of when he says, if God be for us, who can be against us? Who's the us? His people. Not everybody's his people. Now, if God's not for you, you're in trouble. There's no way you can win a battle against him. But if God's for you, who can be against you? Thus saith the God of the Hebrews, let my people go. Now, in the immediate context, they are the people who refuse to take a shoe latchet, like we saw this morning. Remember Abraham? The king of Sodom says, you can keep the spoils. Just give me the people. He said, no, you're getting it all back because I'm not going to take a shoe latchet from you. I'm not going to take a thread from you. Let you say, I've made Abraham rich. Now, here's what you can be sure about Hebrews. They give God all the glory and they refuse. They categorically refuse, just like Abraham, for a shoe latchet from anybody else. Now, notice when God tells Moses to go to Pharaoh, he says, thus saith the God of the Hebrews, let my people go. Let my people go. Now, let me tell you something that every Hebrew has in common. They have to have freedom. Thus saith the God of the Hebrews, let my people go. Janine, you're going to like this. I didn't put this in. It was already in my notes, not even knowing you were here. But the first person I ever heard make this statement, it just resonated with me, was Bill Clark, Janine's father. Here's the rule of the believer's life. Trust Christ and do what you want to. Trust Christ and do what you want to. As soon as I heard that, I knew it was so. Trust Christ and do what you want to. You know, there's a lot of people who find that to be dangerous. Now, Aaron Greenleaf and I were talking about this, and you might have wanted to use this statement. This came from him, but I'm gonna beat him to it, so I'm going to give it to you. And so, Aaron, sorry, I hope this doesn't mess you up if you were planning on dealing with this. But he said, if somebody gave me a blank check and said, here it is, any sin you want to commit, you're free on this one. You can have this one. Blank check. You're not going to have any repercussions for committing this sin. Blank check. There it is. No. No. I don't want a blank check to sin. But I have to have freedom. I got to do what I want. Let me tell you what freedom is. Freedom is made of two things. Number one, freedom is being absolutely debt-free. Now, if you owe any money right now, there's a sense in which you don't feel free, do you? The only way you can feel freedom is to not owe anything. And that's what every believer has. Stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free. I do not owe anything. I stand before God without debt, perfectly justified, perfectly righteous. There's nothing he can look and say, I need more. No, God is satisfied with me. All my debts have been paid. I owe nothing. I stand before God just free. Now, the second thing that is known in freedom, first, you don't owe anything. And number two, you do what you want to do. What is it about vacation? that you enjoy. You don't have to work. You're doing what you want to do. You're going where you want to go. You're being where you want to be. Everybody loves vacation. Somebody says, I don't love vacation. Well, something's wrong with you then. Everybody loves vacation. And everybody loves the free. But the thought, I think of what the Lord said to Bartimaeus after he gave him his sight. You know what he said? Go thy way. He didn't say, here's the way you need to go. He said, go your way. Set free. And you know what the scripture says about Bartimaeus? He followed Jesus in the way. You see, that's a believer's want to. You know what my greatest freedom would be? To never sin again. To be rid of this corrupt, evil nature. To never sin again. Let my people go. You know, I'm not a bit afraid of saying, trust Christ, do what you want to. If you say anything else, you've messed it up. You've made laws, you've made work. Say it! People say, well, that'll lead people to sin, not a believer. It might lead a goat to sin, but there's nothing you can do about a goat anyway. And so I'm not worried about what a goat's going to do. I don't want to be callous about that, but what can you do about a goat? Sheep aren't going to do that. Trust Christ and do what you want. Now, he gives two reasons for letting them go when he says to Pharaoh, thus saith the God of the Hebrews, let my people go. He gives two reasons as to why he wants them let go. Number one, that they might sacrifice to me. Now, a true Hebrew is always aware of the necessity of the sacrifice of Christ. There's never a time when that's not uppermost in your understanding, that the only reason God has anything to do with you is because of the sacrifice of Christ. A true Hebrew understands exactly what Paul meant when he said, God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, that's the thoughts of a true Hebrew. He never wants to be viewed in any way, under any condition, apart from the person and work of Jesus Christ the Lord. Only Hebrews are like that. Somebody's not a Hebrew, they won't understand it. But somebody that's from beyond, they understand that. They understand why Paul said, I've determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. They understand that. And the second reason he says, let my people go, thus saith the God of the Hebrews, let my people go, that they may sacrifice unto me and that they might serve me. Here's my only purpose, to serve Him. What do you do for a living? Serve Him. I pay the bills, being a plumber or a carpenter or whatever. But my only purpose, this is all I want, is to serve Him. That's a Hebrew. He's from beyond. You know, when Jonah fled from the Lord's presence and got on the ship to Tarshish, the Lord sent a great storm. You remember that? Sent a great storm. And the men in the ship cast lots to see whose fault this is. That's the way men always think. You know, who's brought this on? You know, you've done something. So they started casting lots. But you know what? The lot fell on Jonah. And here's what they said. What is your occupation? Whence cometh thou? What is thy country? What people art thou? And you know how he answered? I'm a Hebrew. I'm from beyond. I am a Hebrew. I fear the Lord, Jehovah, the God of heaven, which hath made the sea and the dry land. This sea, this storm that we're so scared in, He made it. He made the storm. He made the dry land. Now, what the Hebrews say? I fear the Lord. Now, there is a language called Hebrew. I dare say that nobody here can speak the literal language. I look at the letters, it looks like Chinese to me, and when I look at what it looks like, but I know the language of Hebrew. It's the language of grace. And only those people who are from beyond understand that language, the language of grace. And the true Hebrew is an abomination to the Egyptian. They always are. And let me read you a scripture to tell you why I'm saying this. In Genesis 43, verse 32, we read that the Egyptians might not eat bread with the Hebrews, for that is an abomination unto the Egyptians. To eat with a Hebrew, to have any kind of intercourse with a Hebrew, and to speak with them and to have fellowship. No, that's an abomination. And the Egyptian, the world, salvation by works, salvation by bondage, that's always, Hebrews an abomination to them. They can't understand that. They don't want to be around it. They don't love it. When Pharaoh told the Hebrew midwives to kill all the males who were born. I love this story. Pharaoh wanted to wipe out. He heard about that. He was afraid that the Egypt or the Hebrews were getting too numerous, and he wanted to get rid of them. I love the story. So he says, "Kill all the 2-year-olds. Everybody that's 2 years or over that's a male, kill them. Throw them in a river. Drown them." Well, it just so happens that one of those 2-year-olds ended up coming into his house. He didn't know it, and it became his grandson. And he, Moses is who it is, he was trained in the very house of Pharaoh to destroy Pharaoh. He learned all the wisdom of the Egyptians. The Lord brought, that's just the way the Lord would work it. And he brought this Pharaoh who is the Lord that I should obey him? I love when he said that to Moses. Moses, you're fixing to find out. And Pharaoh the whole time, he knew, or he didn't know, he's raising the person, he's feeding the person, he's educating the person, he's training the person who's going to kill him, Moses. But listen to this scripture. When Pharaoh told the midwives to kill all the males who were born, they wouldn't do it. They found a way not to do it. And Pharaoh asked this question. He says, why are they still alive? And they said, listen to this. They said, because the Hebrew women are not as the Egyptian women. They are lively. Oh, those Egyptian women. Now, I can't say this regular because pregnancy would be horrible to have a baby. I'm not trying to discount. I'm glad I'm not a woman, I couldn't take it, I'm sure. They said the Hebrew women are lively. They're not like the Egyptian women who have to shut down for who knows how long after this has taken place. They're lively. Well, the Hebrews are lively. You know what that means? They have the life of God in their soul. That means they've been born of the Spirit of God. They're lively. They have life. When Potiphar's wife, I've looked wherever the word Hebrew is used. When Potiphar's wife lied about Joseph and accused him of an attempted rape, and he was thrown in prison, it didn't happen, and he was thrown in prison for 10 long years because of that false accusation. But here's what she said. She said to her husband, the Hebrew servant. The Hebrew servant. And she said that with such contempt. The Hebrew servant, which thou hast brought to us, came in unto me to mock me. Now, I want to say this the right way. I want to be respectful to every human being. That's important. I want to be respectful. I want to be kind. And I need to realize, with regard to that person, I don't know where they're coming from. I don't understand what all they've experienced. I can't be hard on them because I just don't know. But Hebrews mock the religion of the natural man. They mock it. Now, I'm not talking about a cruelty. I want to be a kind person. I want to be a loving person. But what did Elijah do? And it came to pass at noon that Elijah mocked them. These false prophets. And he did this under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And I have nothing but contempt for any religion that's not the religion of the gospel. I've got contempt for it. Elijah mocked them and said, "Cry aloud." Now remember, these prophets of Baal, they were cutting themselves. They were leaping on the altars. They were crying out, "Baal, hear us! Baal, hear us!" And Elijah mocks them. He doesn't just keep his mouth shut. He mocks them. Listen to what he said. "Cry aloud, for he's a god, isn't he? Either he's talking or he's pursuing." You know what that means? He's gone to the bathroom. Maybe he's in the bathroom. "Or he's on a journey, or peradventure he sleepeth and must be awakened." Now that was some pretty caustic mocking, wasn't it? And I'm sure the people would say, "Well, he shouldn't have done that." Yeah, he should have. You see, Elijah realized that this was a false god, and he was exposing Baal for what he is, a non-existent god, a god that cannot save. And that's why he was treating this god with such contempt. And like I said, I don't want to be somebody that just makes fun of people in a wrong way, in a caustic way. But with regard to the religion of the natural man, there's only one thing to do with it: mock it, because it's promoting a false god that cannot save and should be exposed for what it is. Yeah, Hebrews mock the Egyptians in that sense. Elijah did, didn't he? There's only one true living God, that is the God of the Hebrews, one from beyond. Now that's true of every believer, and this is brought out so clearly in the Gospel of John. Now the word Hebrew is not used in the Gospel of John, but the concept of one from beyond. One who's not of this world. One whose birth, their lineage, is not of this world. They're from beyond, is brought out so clearly in the book of John. Now, I'm going to read quite a few scriptures and not going to comment much on them, but I just want you to see this. Turn to John chapter 1. Verse 10, "He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own," speaking of the Jewish people, "and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born." Not of blood, not because their mom and dad were Christians. Not of the will of the flesh, not because a bunch of men got together and said, "We're going to pray for him until God saves him." Not of the will of man, not as an act of man's free will, but of God. That's where they come from. Born of God. Look in John chapter 6, verse 36. He says to some people, "But I said unto you that you also seen me and believe not." You see me, you believe not. But it's almost like he says, and this is kind of reading in between the lines, that's no discouragement to me. That you don't know, that you don't believe, that's no discouragement to me. How come? All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Now, this place of beyond has something to do with being given to Christ before we had any existence. That's what it is to be from beyond. It's to be an elect sinner that God chose before the foundation of the world. And let me remind you of this. Election. Oh, I love the electing grace of God. Election doesn't keep anybody from being saved. If you want to be saved, you will be saved. If you want to know God, you will be know God. If you come to Christ, He's not going to cast you out. You can't say, oh, I'm afraid I can't be saved because I'm not elect. Election never kept anybody from being saved. Election saves people, though, who would have been damned if there were no election. Thank God for election. Here's where we trace. Where are you from? Well, somehow I was in Christ before the foundation of the world. That's where I trace my roots to. That's from beyond. I can't give much explanation to it, but I know it's so. I'm from Him. Look what He said in verse 38. I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of Him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which has sent me, that of all which He hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of Him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on Him may have everlasting life. I'll raise him up at the last day. Look in John chapter 8, verse 21. Then said Jesus again unto them, I go my way, and you shall seek me, and shall die in your sins. Whither I go, you cannot come. Then said the Jews, will he kill himself? Because he says, whither I go, you cannot come. And he said unto them, ye are from beneath. Where are you from? Right here. You are from beneath. I am from above. You are of this world. I am not of this world. Look in John chapter 8, verse 45. Because I tell you the truth, you believe me not. Which of you convinces me of sin? What a question. And if I say the truth, why do you not believe me? He that is of God. That's what it is to be from beyond. You're of God. He that is of God heareth God's words. You therefore hear them not, because you are not of God. Look in John chapter 10, verse 24. Then came the Jews round about him and said unto him, how long dost thou make us to doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly. Jesus answered them, I told you. Was there ever a time that the Lord wasn't plain? I mean, he was so plain in his preaching. I mean, he was a lot plainer than I'll ever be or you'll ever be. I mean, there's nobody that spake like him. I told you, and you believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me, but you believe not because you are not of my sheep. As I said unto you, my sheep, the ones that are of my sheep, from beyond, hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me. Who are those that are beyond? They're of this group called the sheep. The sheep the great shepherd laid down his life for. Look in John 13, verse 1. Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own, every Hebrew, having loved his own, which were in the world, he loved them to the end. Look in chapter 14, verse 15. If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knows him, but you know him. For he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. Look in verse 22. Judas saith unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world? Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words. My Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. John 15, verse 16. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it to you. These things I command you, that you love one another. If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world, the world would love his own. But because you're not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Look in chapter 16. Chapter 17. Verse 2. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. There that phrase is again, and this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. I've glorified thee on the earth. I've finished the work thou gavest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. I've manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. The Hebrews. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. Look in verse 9. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me. For they are thine, and all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. And now I'm no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee. Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me I've kept, and none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. And now come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I've given them thy word, the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldst take them out of the world, but that thou shouldst keep them from evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Now somebody says, explain that to me. I can't do it. I can't do it, but I believe it with all my heart. They are not of the world. They don't find their origination anytime in the world. Now, how is Christ not of the world? Well, I know this. He's not a created being. And all of the elect have always been in Christ. Mysterious? Glorious? Why me? Why me? But all of the elect have always been united to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the only way I know how to understand that is Christ comes first. Christ comes first. He's before all things. But all of God's elect have been eternally united to him. Now, I guess the big question is how can I know if I'm a Hebrew? I want to know. I'd like to know right now. How can I know if I am a Hebrew? Turn to John 20. And many other signs, verse 30. Many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written. What has been written? These are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. Now, I want to ask you this question. I'm not asking you if you're saved. I'm not asking you if you're elect. I'm not asking you if you've been born of the Spirit. I'm asking you this. Do you believe that Jesus is the Christ? God's prophet, God's priest, God's king. The only way of salvation. Do you believe he's the Christ? Do you believe he's the Son of God? Do you believe that he is the eternal, uncreated, God the Son, equal with the Father? Well, look what it says. But these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing, you might have life, the life of God in your soul through his name. Every believer is a Hebrew, one from beyond. I'm a Hebrew. And I know that's what Peter was thinking of when he was writing to the strangers. Strangers. I'm a stranger in this world. Pilgrims passing through. This world is not my home. I'm thankful for the blessings of this world, but this world's not my home. I like what David said. As for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness. I'll be satisfied when I awake in thy likeness, and not before then. Let's pray.